Blog Talk Radio.
Paranexus Universe. Today is Thursday, June 24th, 2010. My name is Doug Kelly. I'm your host. I hope everyone is doing well, and I'm glad you can join us. Grant is on assignment this week. That sounds so much better. Tonight, we have as our special guest Dale Huey, and joining us as well is our own Ingrid Irwin. Hey, Ingrid.
Hey, how are you?
Hello, everybody.
Yes, Dale. Dale is a wonderful wizard of EDP. Is that right?
I like that. Yeah, that sounds fine to me.
And, of course, he's a colleague of Ingrid's. And so we're going to talk tonight about formulating meaningful hypotheses from EVP. And we've got a few clips to play. If you've got questions, you can ask them in the chat room or you can give us a call. John Rossi, our call screener, is also on assignment. Actually, John's at Waverly Hills Sanatorium so he's not going to be screening our calls. So it's just you, me, and you.
I didn't know that John was at Waverly Hills. I'll tell you what, I am very jealous. I would love to be with him for that experience.
Yeah, I would too. He's got all his stuff. He's got his FLIR camera and stuff, so I'm sure he'll be telling us more about that. I'm sure we'll be talking about that Monday night on Informal Paranormal. And if you haven't had a chance to join us on Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, you should, because it's a little bit of a different radio program. John Rossi and I kind of host that. It's aimed at members, but anybody can come in and join us. We welcome especially members, board members, and anyone to call in, drop in, say hi, what's going on, did you have an investigation, do you have a question? It's kind of a chat session, so to speak, and that's what it's really aimed at. And it's fun, it's a little looser, it's not quite as structured, so please join us Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern for Informal Paranormal. And again, tonight, if you want to have a call in, you're more than welcome to do that. I'll try to catch your call on the switchboard. Dale, will you give us a little bit of background on you and how you came to be involved in EVP research?
Well, yes, absolutely. I think that earlier in my life, I had no real substantial beliefs in anything of paranormal origin until I was about 45 years old. One night, to put it plainly, I saw a ghost. I had never seen anything like this before. I saw a...
That's fine, as long as you don't hear voices, then we're okay.
Right. this was not one of those sort of out-of-the-corner-of-your-eye thing. I was closing up my window shades, preparing to go to bed. It was a winter night, and as I looked outside, I saw someone. This was on an old colonial farmhouse in Connecticut, and I was down in the back area in my camper, and I saw someone walking up from the back fields, and I couldn't understand who was out at that late a night. I thought it might be the son of the woman who owned the campground area, and I assumed that he was the caretaker during the winter, and I thought he had done something in the back and was coming back up. The more I watched it, and I looked at this thing for perhaps 15 seconds, I began to realize that this figure I was looking at just had some abnormal characteristics. It was where it was walking along the old stone wall. If you were familiar with New England, you know how old those stone walls are. It was not trudging in the snow. It was sort of gliding smoothly. And I looked carefully. I assumed what I was looking at was somebody who was wearing a sort of a pure white, even a slightly luminescent parka, a winter parka, and I thought they had a black hood on and perhaps black leggings because I couldn't see a head very clearly. I couldn't see legs. Later, I came to understand that this particular vertical, oval, luminous shape is referred to as the auric egg, is sort of the essence of a ghost. In any event, I saw this thing walking, and I kept looking at it and saying, who is that? And eventually, in a few seconds, I started to say, not who is that, but I said, what is that? It was sufficiently opaque that it was blocking what was behind it, which was the stone wall and some dark trees that had grown up. At once it was a field, but it was all grown up in trees. And eventually I realized, well, in a few seconds it would reach the end of the wall, it was walking up toward the old house. Now, as far as I knew, no one was in the house except a caretaker son who occasionally came by. But the house had a floodlight on the back, and I said, aha, now I will see who it is, because when they step into the light, I will see the silhouette of who it is. Well, this figure stepped into the light, and I don't want to use the word disappear, but it blended into the light very much the way a flashlight beam will blend into daylight. It just simply vanishes. You don't see it there anymore. And my mouth fell open. And I looked at it, and I said out loud to myself, that's impossible. If it was a very odd mist or fog, and it was winter, so it was no mist or fog, but if it were, I should see it being prismatic in the light. I would actually see it better, because, as you know, when you're driving along, if you see fog, and you put on your high beams, you see the fog even better. Although this wasn't vertical, it was horizontal in an oval shape. And I saw that, and my mouth dropped open, and I suddenly said to myself, I just saw a ghost. Later on, I did some reading, and I noted that people who have also claimed to see ghosts, not inside a house, but outside a house, have mentioned that the ghost looked like a luminous mist or a luminous figure, not swamp gas, nothing like that, but a fairly well-defined, self-illuminated, heavy mist, I guess you would say, and with definite borders.
How far away from you was it?
I would probably no more than 30 yards, and what I wanted to do was to run on my trailer and run up to it. About the time I was thinking, I think this is something that's very unusual. I had no fear of it, and as far as I could tell, this thing had no awareness of me. Unfortunately, what I realized was it would have taken me to run through a foot and a half of snow to get to it, and I never would have done it. Never made it in time. But from that experience, I was shocked into the realization. I could not explain this. I was a very down-to-earth, scientifically grounded person. I didn't believe in fanciful things. And I saw this and I said, I cannot put this thing into a neat physical universe definition.
Stated in true scientific fashion.
Typical terms, yes.
I just could not understand how this could be, literally, how it could exist, yet the evidence of my own senses told me that I saw something that I could not explain, not by any natural means that I am aware of. When that happened, I said, you know, maybe I need to rethink all of those times that I criticized people who said I saw a ghost, and I said, no, to myself, I would be smirking like a skeptic and saying, well, you imagine this, or you imagine that, or you saw a shadow, you saw this. I realized that no one would believe, because I had no video evidence, but no one, unless I described it very clearly, probably would not believe that I saw what I saw. And I saw this, I was wide awake, clear-minded, I saw it for a quarter of a minute, and I realized this, it made no sense unless you are willing to accept that it was perhaps a ghost, or it was something of a nature that I could not explain.
Well, tell us about your educational and secular background so we can kind of get a feel for where your head was at the time.
Just a brief background. I grew up in a small town in Enfield, Connecticut. Went to the local parochial school. Was born into a Roman Catholic tradition. Had 8 years of parochial school, which is a religious school taught by nuns. Had all of the sacraments. I was a pretty much orthodox religious young man. Went to the local high school. Went on to the University of Hartford. Took a degree in liberal arts. Joined the Navy, went out, saw the world, had a career in the Navy as a journalist. While I was in the Navy, finished my degree, took a degree at the University of Maryland in journalism and psychology, and then I retired from the Navy. After I retired from the Navy, I returned to Connecticut for a few years and went to Phoenix, Arizona. On my return to Phoenix, Arizona is when I had the experience where I saw the ghost-like apparition. I think apparition is probably a good word for it. And I was at that point, I believe it was winter, so I probably was 44 and a half years old at that time. I was certainly an adult, and I was certainly not, I was, on the contrary, not only was I not, I mean, I imagine I am as imaginative as anyone, but my belief system was that there were no paranormal, there was no ESP, no UFOs, no ghosts. None of that stuff didn't exist, and anybody who said anything to the contrary was probably not thinking very clearly or making an honest mistake.
Right.
That's what I felt.
Or a nut job.
Or possibly in some cases.
So where did the sighting occur at?
The sighting occurred in the town of Suffield, Connecticut. It happened in the what it was an old colonial farmhouse. The farmhouse had some acres. The acreage had been redeveloped into campgrounds, so people would bring in their travel trailers and park them there. And you know how the deal is. You get electricity and water, and you relax there during the summertime. Now, I was there during the wintertime overnight, something that they didn't really approve of, but I was there, and I had, you know, all the travel trailers are very comfortable. I had a TV, a little kitchen, a bathroom, all of that stuff. And I remember distinctly, I just finished watching, I think back then it was Johnny Carson. And I turned off the TV and I was with my two dogs, and I was like any other night saying, well, let's go to bed. So I picked up the dogs, put them up on the bed, and as I was leaning over to close the back curtains, and the reason I was closing the back curtains is because of that floodlight. It was quite bright, and I said, I'll just close it. And that's when I looked out the window and I went, what the heck is that?
So it was completely
spontaneous. It was just by sheer chance, just as I bent down, my vision went out the window, and I actually had pulled closed the left side curtain, and I was reaching to the right side. I looked outside, and I went, what? Who? The first thing I said was, who is that out here? If Johnny Carson came on at 11:30, and it was off, so it was sometime between 12:30 and 1 o'clock in the morning.
So it was completely dark.
Completely dark, except for that floodlight.
Any moonlight?
I think it was a cloudy winter night, I think. No moonlight that I'm aware of, no.
So it was pretty bright out because of the floodlight.
Only because of the floodlight, everything else was quite dark. There probably was a street light. I don't think that had any effect. The lights were then off at that moment in the in my camper, so it was dark all around me. It was dark over by the stone wall. And the only light source was the floodlight.
So tonight you're hailing from Idaho, correct?
Mm.
That is correct. I, returning to Connecticut, I lived there for 3 years, my home state, and I decided I wanted to go out west. And I and some friends discussed where we would go, and we thought Pacific Northwest would be very nice. So here I am living in Priest River, Idaho, near the beautiful Priest Lake, Idaho, and I've been here since 1998, and I enjoy it very much.
And Ingrid is hailing from Australia, where they don't have that funny white stuff from the sky, right?
No, we don't.
Have
and
you
we're
ever
in
seen
the middle
snow?
Of... No. No, I haven't, actually.
I'll
never.
Send you,
I've seen plenty
I'll
of
send you
of
a
desert.
Picture.
I'll
send
no, you
a picture.
Yeah, I have the only snow I have seen is the ones that the photos that Dale sends me in winter, But here, no, we've never. I see a lot of desert and a lot of red dirt, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, we don't have snow here in Florida either, which is exactly why I live here. All right, so let's get into EVP stuff. So, Dale, when did you start, after you had this experience with the apparition, obviously, as you so poignantly pointed out, that you needed to rethink your position on this stuff. So then what happened? Where did you go next?
Well, since I saw what I could only describe as an apparition, I started to, just about that time, well, some years afterward, I had moved to Idaho, and I was in retirement, retired from the Navy, and I was living on some pensions, two pensions, and a show came on, and we all know what that show is, and we kind of joke about them a little bit, the two plumbers who have become ghost hunters, the Ghost Hunter show. I began watching it, and I said, oh, this is nice. I liked it because they were from Warwick, Rhode Island, which is a neighboring state to Connecticut, so I could identify with their location very well. And what caught my attention was when they used voice recorders, and they occasionally captured what they were calling EVP. I had no clue about this. This is long before I knew about the American Association for EVP, which is now actually changed to Association Transcommunication, I believe, which now has a leaning that is more, I'm going to just use the word seance-like. I think they are aligned more with the spiritualist churches of America. But in any event, I saw the EVP, and occasionally the EVPs, I found them to be compelling, that they did seem to me to be voices that came from nowhere. Sometimes the voices seemed to be observational, making comments that were observational or even responsive to the presence of the investigators. And to me, perhaps because communications are my business, I said, this has communication value. A picture is great, but wouldn't it be great to actually have the words? And along with the words, yes, the ideas and the knowledge. I guess it would be the difference, if to put it in UFO terms, would you rather see a UFO in the sky, or would you rather hear, or perhaps directly talk to, extraterrestrials? Me, I'd like to talk to them, even if I had to use sign language and say, give me your tricorder. But there's a communication value there. So that's why I got into the EVP, and of course I knew nothing about it, and I had to do a very quick study, not only of the field of electronic voice phenomena, but I had to, very quickly I realized I had to understand something about acoustics, and so I had to do a quick study on that, so at least I could analyze the acoustic frequencies that I was recording of these unusual voices.
So how long have you been involved in EVP research now?
Well, I thought about it for a few years, and finally in about January of 2008, I said, let's go ahead and... What I initially wanted to do was join a ghost hunting team. And living out here in a rural area, not so many ghost hunting teams, except in the nearby, I shouldn't say nearby, the city of Spokane, which is about a 75-minute drive for me. And I thought, no, this is not very practical. So what I did is in January 2008, I said, I'll just get a recorder. And the first thing I'll do, being scientifically minded, is that I'll do some recordings at home. This is long before what I really... before I understood what I might be recording. I just thought, ghost voices. Well, I live in a home, 1948 vintage. There aren't any ghosts here. There's no ghostly phenomena. So what I will do is testing. I will do recordings for a period of time, and the results should be negative. This is important to me because I wanted to make sure I wasn't getting cell phone chatter, citizen's band radio, ham radio, satellite interference, or radio or TV broadcast interference. I learned later that several of those things are digitally encrypted, so there wouldn't be words, understandable words anyway. It would just be interference, essentially. Weird sounds, screeching and squealing. So I said, let's do that. So I did that. I started to do recordings, and I checked the recordings. I do them at night, and as expected, there was nothing, and that suited me just fine. I said, fine, there should be nothing, except one day when I turned on the recorder, I heard a voice, a woman's voice, say what sounded to me, it definitely was a voice, and it sounded like, although it was mildly distorted, I believe the words I heard was, is anyone coming? Or something like that. Anyone else coming? And it was the full phrase, nothing before it, nothing after it, no breathing, no coughing, no sighing, no sneezing, just a voice out of nowhere. And I said to myself, that's an EVP. And I said, also, I don't understand. There's no ghosts here. Why should I have what I think is an EVP? Very shortly after that, the EVP activity began to ramp up dramatically. By the time March rolled around, 2 months later, I was getting a lot of EVPs. Now, when I say a lot of EVPs, let me make something very clear. I don't turn on the recorder for 30 seconds and get four EVPs. Mm-hmm. I turn on the recorder for a long time, 30 mm-hmm. minutes to an hour, and 90, 95% of the time, there is nothing anomalous or unusual on that recorder. There is just normal sounds. Occasionally, during that recording, and this is the part that requires a great deal of patience, you will hear something that comes out of nowhere, a voice that should not be there. So I made sure that my environment was while it's not soundproof, it is a controlled environment. I close the doors, and I make sure that I can identify any of the sounds, dogs, myself, a fan, the refrigerator starting up, anything of that nature, traffic from outside, bird song from outside, so I know all of the sounds that can occur in my environment. Now, when you hear, and I'm the only one at home, I also made an effort not to, we all talk to ourselves, I don't whisper to myself, I talk out loud, because I want to make sure that's my voice. I started to get voices, not only male voices that were not my voice, but I got female voices. Those were really the clinchers. There are no females in the house. I'm a bachelor with three dogs. And unless my dogs have learned how to speak, in which case, if they have, yeah. I'm going into show business.
That's right.
You make a lot of money.
All right, we have a caller on the line, but I'm not sure they're calling in to talk. So, if you are from 704 area code, if you want to ask a question or something, be sure and push your number one button. If it doesn't work, you'll have to call back and push it. Otherwise, we're going to assume you're just listening to the program. All right, and if anybody does want to call in and ask a question, you're more than welcome to. Just be sure and push that number one key as directed so that it raises the hand on my switchboard and I know you want to talk to us. Okay, so let's talk about one of the EVPs that you have prepared for us to listen to. Which one would you like to start with?
I'd like to start with the one that is very early on. Let me see. And these are, I have dated them with my little code. The first recorder I used was the Sony P520. I actually think now that was a mistake. It's a very low quality and noisy recorder. This was one of the pieces of advice that I was given early on, to use a poor quality recorder. Since that time, I've had a complete change because I realized what people were doing was taking a noisy audio stream, manipulating it through heavy filtering, and they get sort of a squeaky, squawky effect that can be interpreted as voice syllables. Unfortunately, rule number one, if it ain't a voice, then it's not an EVP. Mm. So I now reject anything that is not clearly a voice. And I trust human beings' judgment. We hear voices every single day. So when you have a recording, if you hear a voice, you will either know 100% it is a voice, and if you are not 100% sure that it's a voice, then when in doubt, throw it out. So that's why I am. I'd like to go with the first one, which is actually P520-0315.
Okay. And just a heads up for our listeners, if you have headphones, you may want to put them on. And another point that I'll make is that these particular audios that we're going to play over the air, number one, it's always difficult to pick up on EVP stuff over the radio broadcast. It's just hard. Secondly, these audios have been filtered simply for the radio program. So you'll hear the stuff that Dale was talking about, the squawky voice. So, and we'll play it once, and then Dale's going to kind of describe it, and then we'll play it a couple of more times. So I'm going to play it now.
I personally love this audio clip for two reasons. It has a voice caption on it that of a person, a being whose voice I captured so many times. I dubbed him with a descriptive name. Now the first part of the clip was me. That was my voice, and I said I was looking at a computer. I was a little bit concerned that some of the voices were of an emotionally troubled nature. They were not saying things that were comfortable to listen to. Not threats. Nobody was talking to me. They were just saying things that sounded not very happy. So I was reading on the computer at that point with the recorder on in the background, and I read that one man said, don't worry about if you record negative voices. They probably want to be around you because they think you can help them. And my reaction was, fascinating, I'm less freaked out. That's exactly what I said. I said it right out loud, fascinating, I'm less freaked out. A few seconds later, a voice that is not my voice says, and this is my best interpretation, says, he will believe us now. If you'd like to play that a couple times, maybe you will see that.
Okay, I will do that. I'm going to turn up the volume just a little bit because I know it's hard to hear, and somebody's speakers are too loud. Check your speakers, Dale, and Ingrid, make sure your volumes are not turned up too loud. Okay, here I'm going to turn it up to 100% on the volume. Here we go. Now again, Dale, what was the word? What do you think the words say? It said towards the end there.
I believe that the last word. Well, first of all, I count the syllables. And I think the number of syllables are, he will believe us now, six syllables. That's important. One, I have to make sure that I believe that it is a voice. Two, I count the number of syllables, so at least that gives me a base for interpreting the words. And I believe that the voice is saying, he will believe us now. The voice sounds very mellow, almost pastor-like or monk-like in characteristic. That was something I also found very fascinating about EVPs. They have very distinct personalities, just as we all do. Would you like to give it a shot again?
I sure will.
Believe us now is my interpretation.
Yeah, you can start to make out those words.
Now, of course, what I had done, and that's not in your clip, I take the individual section where I hear those words. I noise reduce as much as I can. You have to be careful because you do lose quality as you noise reduce and filter. And then I listen to that clip over and over again until I think that I have a reasonable idea to interpret it a certain way. Okay. The word believe is not very strong. It almost sounds like relief or relieve, but my interpretation is he will believe us now. Okay. Whether or not I am correct in my interpretation, I think the most important part is whether or not any listener will listen to that and say, yes, I hear a voice, and yes, I can count the number of syllables that that voice is saying.
All right, well, I'm going to play it again, and listen for the male voice toward the end of it. It's, you can hear Dale right up at the beginning, and you're saying, fascinating, I'm less freaked out,
yes.
Okay, here we go for the final time. So it's, you can hear, obviously, a male voice. So let's talk about the existential aspect of this, the metaphysical, the meaning part of it.
Absolutely. One of the things I like to think about in this world, there are big questions in this world, and two of the big questions are we alone in the universe, or does intelligent extraterrestrial life exist on other planets? I think that's a huge question. as long as we assume that there is intelligent life on this planet, hopefully there will be some on other planets.
I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Yeah. The second question that I think about, and I think every living being eventually asks themselves, do we or do we not survive the death of the physical body? That to me is, it's called, mm-hmm. that question is called the survival hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that EVP research is a tool that we can use to investigate whether or not the consciousness, a non-physical consciousness without a brain, continues after the death of the physical body. That is a big concern. That's probably why I am doing what I am doing.
Well, and you know, and you hit it on it a little bit earlier, as far as what's the most meaningful aspects of this kind of research. And, you know, people who've heard this show have heard me say this probably 1,000 times. I personally think that photos and video are almost worthless, because all you're left with in the end, even if you have a genuine apparition, all you're left with is a really good picture. However, on the other hand, EVP has the potential to be the most meaningful aspect of research that we do right now, because we can communicate. You know, communication is it. And so let's look at this particular EVP, and then let's assume for a moment that that's exactly what happened. You know, that Dale, you said, I'm less freaked out, fascinating, I'm less freaked out, or whatever. And the voice says, what, he'll believe us now?
Something like that.
Something on that order. So let's assume for a moment that's what took place, because that's the best analysis. That would classify as a class 1 EVP on the KM EVP scale.
Mm.
And here's the very important part. Now, Ingrid and I love to record for EVPs, and there's a particular type that we find the most interesting, and these are what we call either responsive or observational mm-hmm. comments. I interpret this remark, since it came after what I was saying, it seems to have some bearing on what, not just what I was saying, but what I was thinking and feeling at the time. I was having in my, up until, this was now March 15th, and I started in early January. I just started recording these voices. I was a huge skeptic. I listened to that voice. I said, I know that's not my voice. Nobody else is in this house. There is nothing before or after this male voice. There's no breathing. There are no biological characteristics. There's no lip smacking. There's no in-breath. There's no out-breath. There's nothing that I could interpret this as a physical human being. Yet, I hear what appears to be a male voice saying something, not to me. He was saying something to someone else. And if the word, if I interpret the pronoun correctly, he will believe us now. I noticed that word us and we in many EVP captures that I've had.
Well,
my interpretation of this is
yeah.
they are traveling in groups of people, just as we travel in groups of people.
Social
just
animals.
We are a group right now.
Yep. So, I mean, look at the ramifications. What we have here is effectively a two-way communication with the other side, whatever that other side may be. Now, we obviously don't know whether it's the, you know, they were human, you know, deceased humans, or whether it's an interdimensional realm. You know, we don't know.
This is the thing that Ingrid and I, even though we work very closely together, we probably split on this particular thing. My interpretation, my basic interpretation, are these are probably... I don't like to use the word dead and deceased, because what is clear to me by listening to EVPs is they
right.
are most certainly
they are alive.
Not dead. They
yeah.
are alive. Not only just
exactly.
alive, but alive, thinking, aware, and communicating.
Mm-hmm.
They do not
mm-hmm.
communicate to me. They do not speak to me. They speak to others, and they are aware of my presence. They know what I'm doing, apparently, what I'm saying, and they may or may not know what I'm thinking or feeling. I'm not sure about that.
So would passed on human being be more to your liking?
I tend to call them two things. One, I just call them spirit beings, but I sort of try to leave the religious baggage at the door. If I say soul or spirits. Not that I disagree with those things, but I tend to feel that I'll try to give it a more generic term. I call them non-physical, meaning anything that's not of the physical universe, non-physical beings. Although we can refer to them as spirit beings. Yes, I would say discarnate or incorporeal human beings. Used to be human beings,
right.
Now are still human beings, but are, I should say, while we are human beings, I now interpret their state of existence as spirit beings.
Former human beings. So, and the reason I said deceased is to differentiate this type of thing from what some believe exists, which is spirits who have really never lived as human beings.
That is more Ingrid's realm of speculation. In my particular field, and this is maybe because we all have some spiritual beliefs that we probably can't get rid of, and I don't have any problem with calling them deceased people. Yes, I would say, yes, they were formerly living human beings. Formerly in the flesh, formerly physical. They're still living, they're still human beings, but now they are in a different state of existence. I tend to think, and this is only my interpretation, that in fact, that all of the voices that I record are one, probably very, are in my physical environment, yet I'm not psychic, I don't hear them, I don't see them, they do not communicate to me, except once. I assume that they are here for observational purposes. More than that, I cannot speculate. I think they are former human beings. Ingrid, I think, would extend that into... What would you say, Ingrid?
I would just... Well, voices of an unknown origin is where I go.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In a sense that we are getting these voices and we're recording them, but whether it is a living being, whether it's... You know, we can go off into all sorts of tangents. We just don't know the source or the origin as yet. So I sort of leave the door open.
Parallel dimensions of existence? Yes. Possibility.
Yeah.
The fact
other realities?
Other realities. Mm-hmm. The only thing I would suggest is since they can apparently see me and observe me, they must be close. But I cannot see or observe them. So they are not what I would call invisible. They are completely undetectable by any of my physical senses. So they are, for all intents and purposes, non-physical.
You tell them to stay the hell out of the bathroom when you're in it, okay?
I have a feeling they don't care about that anyway.
No. All right, here's a question from the chat room from Kathy. I have a question. How can we carry on any kind of flowing conversation at the time if it takes so much work afterwards to interpret what's been said?
This has been a major problem. It was the Holy Grail. It's something that I always wanted to do. I essentially wanted to have, like everybody else, a radio or a walkie-talkie to heaven. I should say something else.
Spirit calm.
At this point, I am pretty sure, listening to a few hundred EVP voices that I have captured, that the voices that I am hearing have nothing to do with either heaven or hell. And I'm not saying that I don't believe in a greater spiritual dimension. If we hearken back to NED accounts, I really believe in NED accounts that people go into the dark tunnel, into a beautiful place. Yes, I do believe that. But I think that the voices I am recording are what you would call earthbound entities. They were here in our physical, free-roaming spirit beings who are in our physical environment, although we cannot see them. They are here for their own purposes, and they have different varying levels of their own awareness. Some are very aware, some are not. Some are happy, some are definitely not happy.
All right, let's move on to another recording. So we don't run out of time before we get them all heard. Which one would you like to do next?
Let's see here. I beg your pardon. Looking here.
You're going
to
share.
This one, I'd like to just, let's see here. I'd like to play the one. This is the one where after approximately 6 months of study, I had told myself I would do 6 months of research, and if I got...
pardon me. You take a moment, and I will just remind our listeners that if you have headsets, because some have joined us, if you have a headset, it'd probably be better to put it on so you can at least make a little bit out of this. And I'm going to run the next recording at the 100% level as well. It seemed like that was good.
All right, I sprayed a little chloroseptic, and I'm back with you. The one that I'd like to hear is the one that was really paradigm-changing for me. July, the P520-709. Excuse me. This is one, a multi-voice EVP capture where there are female voices. To me, that is important because I'm the only male that lives in this house. There are no females.
Okay.
I heard three distinct voices. The first voice, and this is not unusual.
Let's
when
play
you get
it first. Let's
yeah,
play
please
it first,
do.
And then you can just explain it, and then we'll play it a couple more times.
You will hear my voice first.
No. No.
To me, this is, again, one of my favorites. Absolutely astounding EVP capture. You hear my voice calling one of my shelties who was outside, and I'm saying, Belina, Belina, come here, Belina. A female voice, and this is the only one that I get very clearly, is an adult female says, in my interpretation, somebody in our home. I found that. It gave me the chills when I heard it. It was immediately followed by a younger female voice. I'm less sure of this interpretation. It sounds something like, I see ghosts. then you hear me singing. I had just seen a Bob Marley video on YouTube, and I was saying, da 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 da, Africa for peace. And a third voice says, again, I'm not completely clear, sounds something like, she has an unusual, almost antique accent, and says, Why is it a force? And I can't get the rest of it.
All right,
now,
so I'm gonna
play that.
Again.
I'm gonna play it again, and so we first hear you calling for your Sheltie, and then we hear what sounds like some female vocalizations, and then we can hear you singing, and then
and then another female vocalization. One thing to note, I think, is the one that is most clear to hear is after I finish speaking, there's a few seconds of silence, and you hear what I think is the adult female voice saying, somebody in our home. That, to me, was the most remarkable one.
Yeah.
Please.
All right, here we go.
As you can tell, I'm completely oblivious. I hear nothing.
I wouldn't admit that. Okay, I'm going to play it a couple more times, and Dale, feel free to grab a drink of water or something, and I'll play it a couple more times here. Okay, I'll play it one last time. Okay, so the last voice you're saying was the one that said something with reference to the home?
The first one, I believe, the first voice that you hear sounds like somebody in our home. A younger voice there speaks after, and then you hear me sing. The final voice says what I am not completely sure of. Says sounds like, actually, here's what it sounds like to my ears, and it makes no sense. Why is it a force of Yima? But that makes no sense to me. And these voices always do make sense. So
the reference to the home. What
the reference to the home was the first
after
voice.
After the Belena.
After the Belena, and then there's about 5 seconds of silence, and you hear a voice with an odd echo to it as well, and it simply says, somebody in our home. And then a younger voice speaks, and I think the younger voice is saying, I see ghosts.
Yeah, that's
which, if possible, it may give us this is one of the things that I always thought was fascinating. How do spirit beings perceive us? And that may or may not be a description of how they perceive us. Some people have conjectured that spirits don't see us really much better than we see them, that they feel we are the ghosts, and they are real. And we think we are real, and they are the ghosts.
That's a fascinating topic. All right, let's go on to another one so we can get these all in before we run out of time.
This one will be P526-9-0609. That's June the 9th.
Okay, I'll play it and then let you describe it.
Whom I call the Father.
There seems to be, after I say, whom I call the thoughtful one, by this time I had recorded EVP voices so consistently. When I say consistently, I really can do 10 recordings and get none, but one or two or three is, I consider, a lot. In this particular one, I said, whom I call the thoughtful one. I was referring to a female voice that I had recorded, and this voice seemed to be fading out as if it was going away. And I mentioned this. And the first reaction seems to be, by the way, you can hear the noise that increases is me actually starting the microwave oven. Sorry about that. This is before I understood to really watch the background noise. There is a voice, and it's the one that I hear the best, is the first voice, and he immediately says, he knows, in my interpretation. It sounds like he just says, he knows. Followed by another voice that seems to be different, and I believe it says, it's a bit unusual, but it sounds like hearing, comma, thank you. Interesting, because that was my feeling about this voice that I had dubbed the thoughtful one. I had thanks. I was expressing thanks. There's a last voice, incredibly faint, and my interpretation is it's saying quiet seeker, but I don't have a lot of I don't have high confidence in that last interpretation. Only the first voice, and that's always the way it seems to be in these multi-voice captures. The first utterance is the strongest, and they get weaker and weaker until they fade out. Reason? I don't know why.
All right, so I'm going to play it again. This is the 6-9, right?
Right, and you will hear me say, whom I call the thoughtful one. Immediately thereafter, a voice speaks, and it sounds like he's saying, he knows.
Okay, so here we go.
Whom I call the Father, he knows. Very
okay, now the warbling sound is from noise reduction. If nothing else, I think that we can agree that there are additional voices aside from my own on that clip.
And
to me that...
Just to reiterate for those who have joined us that these audios were noise filtered specifically for the program.
So right, but not edited. These are complete clips from beginning to end. I didn't sort of piece them together. If we could move right on to DS-30, August 26th. This is a fascinating one. With a better recorder, by the way. This is an Olympus DS-30.
The 26th, you say. Let me get the volume turned up. Here goes.
Well, what I find interesting about this one, now you hear the noise reduction warbling there. The dog, one dog remained inside. I was actually just outside of the house in the yard. A dog barked two times. I think it was my female dog. A voice speaks, two times. It seems to be a male voice that is somewhat distorted. It says, I think, I'm living, pause, and the last part is actually stronger. Come to me, with emphasis on the me, if you'd like to play it again.
I will.
If that is the case, if my interpretation of this voice is correct, we have an example here of where I had a question in my mind. Are these beings merely telepathic, or can they actually see us visually and hear us acoustically? If they heard the dog bark and the voice responds to the dog bark, this suggests to me that they do perceive acoustics and they do probably see us. If the voice says, I'm living, this is kind of an interesting dilemma, because as a living being, he shouldn't have to emphasize that. But it suggests to me that there's a struggle in the mind of whoever this being is, that he feels as if he is not real, and that he is experimenting on the dog to get the dog to recognize his existence, probably because nobody reacts
uh-huh.
to his existence. At the very end, the clearest part seems to be, come to me. That's just what you would say to a dog.
All right, I'm going to play it one more time, and then we'll take a call. Yep, it helps. Okay,
you can take a call. I wanted to say, I answered the first caller a little bit too short. How can we have a real-time communication with deceased people? And I'm going to have to say right now, and even though I feel this is the Holy Grail, one of the difficulties is I think that the beings whose voices I am capturing are not, while they are deceased persons, they are not necessarily, unless you have a loved one who is near you, these are not, I don't recognize any of the voices, I don't know any of these people. I have asked out loud while recording, would people that I knew, deceased family and friends, respond to me? I have never gotten a response from anyone who I felt was, shall we say, in heaven. I don't believe my recordings actually go that far, so to speak, or I should say, I don't think they come to me. Now, I know that flies in the face of other people who say, yes, you can talk to the dead, meaning those who are in heaven. I think whoever we are hearing, whatever conversational exchange we are having, and there is a time delay in our conversational exchange, these are spirit beings who are in our physical environment for reasons that I am not completely aware of. Please,
all right,
go ahead.
We're going to take, we've got two calls that we're going to take. The first one's from area code 704. Welcome to Paranexus Universe. This is Doug. What's your first name?
Hi, this is Don.
Don, nice to have you. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, great show tonight. I do have a couple questions for the guest.
Sure, go ahead.
I like your analogy about kind of both parties being separated by a veil, you know, in the same room, but not being able to see each other, but sensing each other's presence, so to speak. It's a good analogy. I personally believe there's multiple planes, multiple dimensions. You know, just as there's molecules floating all around us, there are lots of activity around us that we can't detect, you know what I mean? And I think definitely there's a lot of activity around us.
So what's your question?
Okay, well, two-part question. You sound sincere. It doesn't sound like a hoax. Would you be willing to back it up with a polygraph test?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Not only that, but I also invite people to come over to my house and listen to my clips here on my computer, and they seem to be quite impressed. Naturally, you do have to take my word for it that I'm not hoaxing you, but then again, if you know, you won't see me on TV. I do have my own website, evplink.com. There's no financial gain for me. This is just something that I felt was so remarkable that other people should know about it. Would I take a polygraph? Absolutely. And I'll tell you why I think this is so remarkable. If these voices are absolutely valid, they're not random snatches of broadcast interference. If these are spirit beings in our in our environment whom we cannot normally detect except by the use of a voice recorder, and it suggests to me that they have always been around us. There's nothing to be worried about. And this also suggests to me that the consciousness, and this is very important, especially as you get older. I just had a birthday recently, and it reminds me of my own mortality. I would don't mind giving up this old body if I thought I could go on into a new existence with everything that I think, everything that I feel, minus my physical body.
All right,
to me,
I'm sorry to interrupt. We're down to our last 5 minutes or less. We've got to speed it up because we still have one more caller. Don, did you have another question real quick?
What was your website again, guest? EVPlinks.com?
EVPlink, EVPlink.com.
Great,
thanks
I'll check
calling,
it out.
Don. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good night. All right.
I think we have played all of the clips now.
I think so.
Oh, well, actually, one we missed, and you can just play it. The last one is just a free, what I call high-frequency whisper.
We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's take our last call. Dan, you're on the line. Welcome to Paranexus Universe.
Hey, I just got two really quick questions. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, the first one is, so you don't think that it is possible for a psychic to communicate with dead humans?
No, I absolutely think it is possible for a psychic to communicate far better than I can with deceased individuals, people who even be in what you would call in heaven, or possibly not heaven, in hell or purgatory or however you conceive of those things. I think they can do that. I think I cannot do that. What I am doing, I'm limited to the physical media of the recorder, and I believe that EVP emanations are very short range, within a few meters. So I think that the only thing my voices, these EVPs, are indicating for me is that in our environment there are non-physical or spirit beings who exist, who are free roaming, and who observe us for their own reasons. Yes, I agree. I think psychics can do that.
Did you have another question, Dan?
Yeah, I did. I think that, or actually I was going to ask you, do you think that mainly all the earthquakes and stuff is caused due to nigger witch doctors?
I knew that was coming.
Mm.
Dan, I got your name, and I'll be reporting you to Blog Talk Radio just like I do everybody else. All right, you've wasted our time, and if I wasn't on the air, I'd have a few choice words for you. All right, we're going to have to skip our last recording. I'm sorry, Dale, we're down to our last couple of minutes, primarily because of Dan's pointless call. So, we've been talking about EVPs. We've had some interesting EVPs. We've also been talking about the existential aspects of them, the metaphysical aspects, and I'm sorry that the time has flown so much, Dale, but some interesting stuff. You want to mention your website once again for folks?
Sure. It's www.evplink.com.
And we encourage people to come and visit us at paranexus.org. We would love to have you as a member. There's a lot of member benefits, including web hosting for your anomalous research site. We've got a new download section with over 40 files, including many ebooks that you just can't get for free online, all as a benefit of membership. We just upgraded our store, and those ebooks are available for non-members for $2.97. If you want to help support Paranexus, your membership dues also help support Paranexus nonprofit mission. If you want to get some further education and training, including in EVPs, visit ParanexusAcademy.org. Ingrid is going to be, in the not-too-distant future, coming out with an EVP course. She's working on that now. And a lot of people looking forward to that. Dale, thanks so much for taking your time tonight. Fascinating topic.
Mm. Thank you very much.
And Ingrid, thanks for joining in, too, as well. Always good to have you on.
Fantastic. It was great.
Next week, I actually have that page up. Kind of go take another gander because I'm, got CRS, and I wanted to tell you who's coming on next week. It is
Rolling Hills Asylum with Sharon Coyle, and John Ross is going to be on with us next Thursday as well. Don't forget to join us this Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for Informal Paranormal. We can toss around some more of these topics, and we can all benefit from each other's experience and knowledge. So thanks so much, everybody. We appreciate you joining us for this live broadcast, and for those of you listening to the archive, we thank you for taking your time as well. Everybody have a great night. See you again soon.
Universe.